Good morning.
Morning.
If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're in chapter 3. We are going to consider primarily verse 7, but to give us some context, let's read together 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that we can consider these things. We pray that you would enable us to be doers of your word. I pray that what I say may bring honor and glory to your name and build up the body of Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Husbands, likewise. Peter is giving us a series of examples, if you will. Things in life that pertain to the way we live. He dealt with servants, he's dealt with wives, and now he's dealing with husbands, and he's going to wrap it up by saying, finally, all of you. Husbands, likewise. Likewise what? Well, just like servants were to live a certain way, and just like wives were to live a certain way, so are husbands to live a certain way. And that certain way has to do with who we are in Christ. And as Dale read to us from Ephesians, it's our task to love as Christ loved. That's a big task. Now, we can joke about the fact that, you know, well, look at all those verses that, Peter wrote about wives. You know, there's six of them there. And actually, even in the middle of verse 7, he's talking to wives. He's mentioning them as the weaker vessel. And we can poke fun at that a little bit. But I guess the other side of that is maybe he had to keep it short talking to us. Because we need to get the point. Whatever the case may be, Peter is telling us all how we ought to live. And in this case, Peter is exhorting us as husbands to be considerate of the wives that God has given us. He does so in terms of commands. Given briefly, he doesn't expound on them a lot, but we can expound on them some. Commands. Live. Understand. Honor. And then he talks about a caution concerning our communion with God. As I said, husbands, likewise. This is part of a body. We're in this together. We have roles that we need to learn how to live according to. And as Dale prayed in his prayer, there are many giants in the land. Giants that we are meant to conquer as God's people. And one of those giants, I believe, is the fact that We don't know, referring to the land, what a good relationship is outside of Christ. And so, in our lives, we need to learn how to live relationships the way that God has designed us to live them. Just look around us and tell me if that's not a giant in the land that we need to learn how to conquer. And we need to start doing that in our own lives. What Peter has been telling us is not merely ammunition against feminism, because if that's all you're doing, then you're just going to fall in the ditch on the other side of the road, and chauvinism is no more the right response to feminism than feminism is to chauvinism. The gospel is meant to transform our lives. And as husbands, and those that are preparing to be husbands, it needs to transform our lives with our wives. And the gospel transforms the way we view our wives, the way we live with our wives, the way we treat our wives. The gospel transforms us so that we begin to live together with our wives in such a way that the world can see the power and the beauty of the gospel in our lives. And we begin to take down that giant in the land. So Peter exhorts husbands to be considerate of their wives in terms of commands. The first one is live. Live, understand, and then honor. Have you ever been to a house and considered what it means when a house is lived in? We hear that term. Place looks really lived in. And you have extreme examples on either end. I've been in houses where things are so pristine that you're not sure that you should sit down unless you wrinkle something. I've been in houses where they actually covered the furniture in plastic. On the other end, ditch on the other side, you've been in houses, I've been in houses where you can't walk. And yet both of those are described as living in the house. I would submit that somewhere in the middle, right? You want the house lived in, you want it, people to know who you are, you want people to feel comfortable. Well, let me suggest that I've also seen relationships between husbands and wives that resemble that. That the wife has to be so pristine that there's no other way that the husband would accept her. And there's this complete false front. It feels like it's not approachable. And I've known women whose husbands have had so little consideration for them that they even physically look disheveled because their whole world is falling apart. They can't bear the burden of caring for the family and of running the home and being dumped on constantly by a husband who ignores them and says, it's all your problem. And Peter is calling us to live in a manner that is honoring to God with our wives. That means that we're not self-centered. Live with your wife in a way that shows people that you honor her, that you understand her. That's more than just a physical description, because any guy could describe your wife. In fact, some husbands might be embarrassed. I think my wife has brown eyes. You're not paying attention to life. You're not living. Peter writes, husbands likewise, live with your wives with understanding. Not just living with your wife is more than just coming home to supper and putting your feet up because you're tired. It's more than just sharing a meal, having a couple of kids, sharing the bed, going to work. That's not living. That's getting through the day and doing what you feel like doing. Be considerate, Peter is telling us. All of us need to deal with that at some level. Not to be self-centered. That's part of that giant in the land. Look out for number one. What feels good to you? How many relationships end because one party is told, do what feels good to you? Look out for number one. Peter's been calling wives, yes, to submit to husbands. But it's possible for husbands, even Christian husbands, to take advantage of that submission and to act like tyrants, domineering, treating wives as inferiors, if you will. And it's possible to twist Scripture, to twist Peter's words as if he were saying the husband is really the important one. He's the one around whom the marriage revolves. And I think in some ways that's why Peter spent so much time addressing the wives directly, because in the culture, you didn't talk to the wives directly. And he wanted to get the point across, not only to the women, but to the husbands. There's an aspect here when we come to Christ that we come together. The gospel frees us from being servants of sin. We've said that time and again. And it frees us from chasing our own desires, which can be evil desires. The gospel turns us into servants of God, even as Christ was, even as He calls us to be. We aren't the center of the marriage, men. God is. God is supposed to be. And our marriages exist to serve, honor, and glorify Him. And so, as we come to Christ, He frees us from putting ourselves first. And He frees us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow Christ, our example, our Savior. Peter calls us to be understanding. That requires knowledge. Dwell with your wife according to knowledge. What kind of knowledge is required to be considerate of your wife? Some commentaries think that Peter's talking about specifically Christian knowledge. Well, I think we've had that discussion before about trying to separate secular and sacred, haven't we? Husbands have to know the gospel, that's true. They have to know God's purposes and principles with regard to marriage, yes. To be considerate, we've got to get to know God's Word, and that is true. But the knowledge that Peter is talking about goes beyond just the knowledge of God's Word. It includes a knowledge of our wives. If we're going to be considerate, we've got to get to know our wives, to know their desires, to know their goals, to know their frustrations, their disappointments, strengths and weaknesses, whether those are physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever category you want to put them in. It means you need to take time to talk. That means we need to learn how to talk to each other. It's not just one-sided, ever. So how well do we know our wives? Do you know what your wife likes to do? The kind of things that she excels at or would excel at if she had the opportunity to pursue? What does she enjoy doing? When you get home at night, would she rather stay in tonight and just talk? Would she like to go out, visit some friends? Do you know what kind of music your wife likes? Do you listen to it together? Check Facebook for comments on that. All kinds of feedback there. Do you know what kind of movies your wife likes? Or will you even admit that? Let alone watch it with her. What does your wife worry about? What is she afraid of? How is her relationship with the Lord? Are you nurturing? Are you caring? Are you serving? You remember what Peter said in verse 4? A woman's lasting beauty can't come from outward adornment, from her clothes, her makeup, jewelry, hairstyles. Again, that's not wrong, okay? Lasting beauty, however, comes from inside, from a gentle and quiet spirit. And that's the beauty that we ought to be observing as men. That's the beauty that we ought to be nurturing, encouraging, caring for. Being considerate means getting to know your wife's inner being, if you will. Getting to know her heart. And that's going to take a lifetime. We've got to make the effort to move from superficial knowledge to deep, intimate knowledge so that we can approach our wives with knowledge and intelligence and sensitivity. And that might rub some guys the wrong way, because maybe it makes you feel like you're not, you know, the He-Man if you are sensitive. Bull. I'll stop with that comment. Many of the problems that husbands have in their relationship with their wives come from the simple fact that they really don't take the time to get to know their wives. That can apply, you know, as I said in the last sermon, this can apply to all kinds of relationships, right? But specifically here we're talking husbands and wives, we're talking about couples that are thinking about getting married, and even if it's a thought down the road, these are the kinds of things you need to think about. How are you going to build them into your life? So we bumble around in our relationships. How was I supposed to know that she was upset? I asked her if she was fine, and she said, yes, so I left it at that. Being considerate is the opposite of being an insensitive clod. And being considerate takes time. It takes time to get to know someone. It takes time to get to know your wife or your husband. It takes time. We need to set the time aside. You know, over the years people have this debate. Is it quality or is it quantity? It's a false dichotomy. You need both. It takes time. It takes quality time, but it takes lots of time. A lifetime. Set time aside to talk. To pray together. To listen. Sometimes it's a whole lot easier to talk than to listen. Actually, a lot of times it's easier to talk than to listen. That means even when we're tired, even when I get home and I'm hurting and I really just want to sit somewhere like a lump, do I take the time to say, honey, how's the day with the kids? How was school? How's the laundry coming, whatever the case may be. I am not a living expert. But over the years, one of the habits that I've tried to tell myself and tell other people so that it's in my head is that my wife works harder every day than I do, taking care of all the things that I don't think about. We need to remind ourselves so that these things are before us. Being considerate takes time. We're human. So we are going to run into days where we find ourselves whispering in our hearts or brain. I don't know, I have this voice that follows me. It's been following me all my life. You deserve a little break once in a while. You deserve a little pleasure for yourself today. Go ahead, sit in the corner. Vegetate. Christ Jesus came and set an example, and He has set us free not to live like that for ourselves. He set us free so that we can live for God and so we can serve others, including and especially our wives. Peter calls husbands to live considerately with their wives, with understanding, but also by rendering honor. And that involves an attitude toward our wives. The way that we think about and the way that we view them. But more than that, it comes out in the way we act and in the way we talk. The way we speak about our wives. The gospel is going to affect that if we are living according to the gospel. And I'm sure we all know examples of guys, and maybe we've fallen in the same ditch ourselves. When you're with the guys, invariably somebody will have a negative comment about their partner. And it's easy to get into that habit. It's easy to follow suit, even jokingly. But we need to get into the habit where we are building up our partners in front of others. Honor starts in the heart, but it doesn't stay hidden. We've got to show the world. We've got to show our children. We've got to show our wives that they are honored. Do our children know that we honor our wives by what we say and by what we do? That we regard them highly? Remember what Proverbs 31 says about a wife of noble character? Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Our children need to hear us talking like that, because if they don't learn to talk like that, they're going to learn to talk a different way from somebody else. It's interesting to notice that what Peter says about giving honor to wives. But when he's talking about that, this is where he brings up that whole thing about the weaker vessel or the weaker partner. What does Peter mean here when he's doing that? Well, it ought to be obvious, let me state, that women aren't weak in every way. Many women are more intelligent, more gifted, more godly than many men. And there are many times when we would do well to ask our wives for advice, because they are superior in knowledge or in giftedness in some specific area. And we'd be foolish to think that, well, I'm the head of the home, so I'm just going to trump every last call. Not a good idea. That's not helping one another. That's not encouraging her strengths, and that's not taking advice where advice is available. What kind of weakness does Peter have in mind? Well, some commentators suggest that women tend to be more emotionally sensitive than men, and that may be part of what is being talked about. If her feelings are easily hurt, then you ought to treat her with extra care, with extra sensitivity. Perhaps, but I think primarily what Peter has in view here is a physical strength. Men are, generally speaking, more heavily built than women are, and most husbands, if they tried, could overpower their wives. In other words, if you were having a tug-of-war and you had 100 guys on one side, 100 women on the other side, is there a contest? That's the point that he's getting across. Women, on the whole, are physically weaker. And here's the thing, that puts wives at a disadvantage, in one sense, in the relationship. God requires women to submit, as we heard last time. Women are the weaker in authority, and there is the danger here that husbands will use their physical strength and the authority that God has placed in the head of the home as an argument to silence the wife. Trump everything. I'm the head. Many times we as men aren't good at honoring anything that we see as weak. This is brought out clearly in the sports arena, isn't it? If you're playing a game, whatever game, hockey, football, soccer, if you're playing hockey and you're running the net all the time and people realize, hey, put it low to the stick side and it's goal, you're going to pound at that weakness to win the game. The problem is, we need not to think about our marriages and our relationships in that way. That competitive mentality in our homes, in our marriages, is not a good thing. But we hear it. Have you ever heard anyone say, in referring to the children, well, and even say it with some pride, the kids don't listen to the wife as well as they obey me. That's a competitive attitude. It's not the way that we are to live our lives as married couples. It's a partnership. That competitive mentality brings ruin to marriages. And so God calls us not to be bulldozers and trample over and run over and threaten with physical force. Rather, He calls us to honor. And He calls us to honor precisely because the wife is the weaker partner in that sense. And that weakness is not to be seen as a flaw or a failure. It doesn't make her inferior. Is a china cup inferior to a 5-pound sledge? Now, I like tea, and I use 5-pound sledges all the time. But I don't drink tea out of a 5-pound sledge. Wives are not a member of the opposing team. They are teammates and partners in Christ. And when our kids even think about talking back to their mother, they ought to see a shadow lurking behind with a really stern, ugly-looking face saying, "You do that and there's going to be a price to pay." Her physical weakness, if we do this in a biblical way, is our physical weakness. And our strength ought to be her strength. Because the two are to be partners, given to each other by God to help each other in serving Him. And Peter tells us that the physical reason for each of us to honor his wife is that she is the weaker partner. But he gives a spiritual reason as well, and that is this. Our wives are heirs with us of the gracious gift of life. Remember when they were challenging Jesus as to whose husband will this woman be married to because she's gone through seven? Well, in the life that is to come, it is not so. We are joint heirs in Christ. As Christians, the two are both heirs to the same inheritance. You remember back in chapter 1, it's been a while, Peter told us about that inheritance. He said it was an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade, and it's kept in heaven. He spoke about receiving the goal of your faith and the salvation of your souls. And when he said those things, he wasn't speaking only to men. It's not as if husbands of the soul write to the inheritance and then share a piece of it with their wives. "Here, you can have a smattering of this. I'll give you an allowance." No. The same inheritance lies ahead for both husbands and wives. And already now we begin together to share in that same gracious gift of life. So the God of all grace has called us and our wives to share in His eternal glory in Christ. And in terms of calling, in terms of fellowship with God, in terms of spiritual privileges and internal importance, our wives are no weaker and no more inferior than we are. They are joint heirs, co-heirs with us in eternal life. And as such, God calls us to honor and help each other along the way until the day when we enter into the fullness of that inheritance. Now Peter adds one more line in verse 7. He's exhorted husbands to be considerate of their wives in terms of the commands live, understand, and honor, but also in terms of a caution. A caution that concerns our communion with God. Be considerate, Peter says. Treat them with honor. And then he tells us the purpose, our goal, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Think about that. What is Peter saying? He is saying that our relationship with our wives is connected to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Peter's not simply concerned about right relationships and marriage, as important as that is. He's not simply concerned with good order in society. He's not simply opposed to feminism, or he's not simply opposed to chauvinism. Peter is concerned here with our relationship to God, and specifically with our fellowship with God in prayer. That your prayers may not be hindered. Peter's not talking here simply about human interference. You have a quarrel with your wife and you don't feel like praying because everybody's on edge. That's not what he's only talking about here. He's talking about God's discipline on our lives because we have failed to do what He has asked. How seriously does God take the way that we live with our wives? So seriously, Peter is telling us, that He will interrupt His relationship with us if we don't live considerately with them, if we do not render honor and treat them with respect. We can put it more strongly. If we are mistreating our wives, running them down, refusing to render honor, then no matter how often or piously we may pray, our prayers won't be making it past the ceiling. Listen to what God says in a few places in the Old Testament. In Malachi in chapter 2. "Another thing you do," He says, "you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and you wail because He no longer pays attention to your offerings and nor accepts them with pleasure from your hands. And you ask why." Listen to the reason. "It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant." The people of Israel were mistreating their wives, even divorcing them to marry other women, and the Lord responds by refusing to hear their prayers. We also read in Isaiah, "When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you." And again, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." And Peter is reiterating it here. And he's going to say it again in the next section that we come to. In verse 12, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." How seriously does God take our relationship with our wives? So seriously that He will not honor, if we will not honor them, if we will not live considerately with them, then God will cut off fellowship with us. He will not hear our prayers. That's a serious thing. And how can we live without prayer? How can we accomplish anything that is of any spiritual good in our lives without the ability to pray with God? How can we live with the Lord? How can we enjoy the gracious gift of life if God would not listen to our prayers? Live considerately with your wife, Peter says, so that nothing may hinder your prayers. Do we desire a strong prayer life? I don't know about you, but at points in my life, that's a struggle. And I need to go back and ask why. Am I doing something? Is God just wanting me to wrestle through an issue? Or am I doing something? In this case, am I mistreating my wife? How can we carry on? Do we long for that close communion with God? Do we want the power and the grace of God to be at work in us, blessing us and making us a blessing to others? Do we want God to hear our prayers? Then we must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and let it transform our lives. And let the gospel heal our marriages. Heal our relationships with our wives. So that we are walking among the giants of the land saying there's a better way. There's God's way. When the communion of saints become more than words that we confess on Sunday, when it becomes a reality in our homes and in our marriages, we will start to shine with the light of the gospel. When we pray earnestly together, as we do every Sunday, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive one another. Then we will start to experience how good it can be to live together, not only as husbands and wives, but also as brothers and sisters, joint heirs in Christ. A Christian marriage is more than just rejecting the world's view of it, of marriage, that is. It's a matter of listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a matter by living according to God's will, letting that gospel shape our lives so that as husbands we hear God's warning, and because we value our relationship with Him, we will value our relationship with our wives, rendering honor to her and living considerately with her, building and maintaining that relationship with our wives is never a waste of time. It is a spiritual activity. It's a calling as husbands. And it is pleasing in God's sight. He who called us, all of us, to His glory, and who has made us heirs of eternal life. Amen.